Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with some samples. So if you have read That Sounds Fun, you probably remember the story of me trying to get a dog and then realizing I was allergic. Sad day. And this is why I'm glad I found Claritin D, because an allergy attack is literally the worst. So I am thankful to have it on hand around my friends, pets, and other things. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin clear with Claritin D. It's designed for serious allergy sufferers, and Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, and itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Amen to that. There are also a lot of seasonal allergy sufferers over here at AFD Inc. and at the That Sounds Fun Network. So Claritin D really works for this crew. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It is time to live Claritin clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. So you can find Claritin D at your pharmacy counter. Just ask a pharmacist for Claritin D at the pharmacy counter, and you don't even need a prescription. Just go to Claritin.com right now and you can get a discount so you can live Claritin clear. Use as directed.
AF downed in your car to your home. Every week it's on the news. A deep talk or an interview. She'll make you laugh, she'll make you cry. When it's dark out, she's a light. When you're down, get your feeling right. Oh man, that's some fun.
Hi friends, welcome to another episode of That Sounds Fun. I'm your host, Annie F. Downs, and I'm so happy to be here with you today. Before we dive into today's conversation, I want to tell you about one of our incredible sponsors. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Do you know if you're an introvert or an extrovert? I'm guessing you do. And do you know what recharges you? Is it when you're around people, when you're alone? Figuring all this out can be really helpful, and therapy is a tool that can help give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. It is truly so helpful for me to process these kinds of things with my counselor. So give BetterHelp a try. They made it super easy for you. It is done entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So it's simple to get started. Your session can be done from right at home. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. Y'all know we love a quiz. And you'll get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists at no additional charge, because finding the right match is really important for you too. So find your social sweet spot through help with a counselor and BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ThatSoundsFun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/soundsfun. Today on the show, we're talking with my friend, Laura Osnes. Y'all know I love Broadway shows, and you know I love movies, and you know I love a rom-com, and today's conversation is a little behind-the-scenes taste of all of that. Laura Osnes is a Tony Award nominee and a Broadway star. She has been in Bonnie and Clyde, as well as she was Cinderella. You guys, she's going to tell you all about it. And she is starring in a brand new GAF movie, Great American Family, just in time. It released on GAC a couple of weeks ago, but tomorrow you can watch it on GAF's Pure Flix. Easy to get. She's going to tell you all about it. But y'all, this movie made me cry. It made me laugh. It's beautiful. I think you're going to love it. And so I was very excited to sit down with Laura and chat about it. So here's my conversation with actress and star and friend, Laura Osnes. That sounds fun. Laura Osnes, welcome to That Sounds Fun.
Hey, thank you.
I'm so glad you're here.
I am thrilled to be here. Annie,
thank you
thanks
for doing
having
this.
Me.
Oh my gosh, it has been so fun to have you in Nashville, to have you in our world, and to get to be friends with you. And okay, so it's our 10th year of the show.
Congrats, by the way.
Thank you. It's very fun. It's, you know, 10 years of anything is a good thing to celebrate.
Indeed.
That is a lot of time. Our first question we're asking everyone this year, instead of saving it for the end, is what sounds fun to you?
I think in this moment, like making a movie with my friends or a TV show.
Yeah.
I have a lot of creative irons in the fire, and kind of being on the other side and acting or producing and hiring my friends and making art with my friends.
Yeah.
Sounds really fun. Right now. We need money.
Interesting thing. Yeah. You're like, dear
who
producers.
Wants to fund?
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing to me is I don't have a lot of friends who are making movies, but the couple of my friends who are actors pretty quickly go, I want to make one. I don't. Why is that switch? What happens?
I think I've been in a season of, instead of waiting for the system to give me a job.
Come on.
I'm creating. I want to create it. My own thing.
Yes.
And I want to do it with my friends.
Yeah.
And give other people jobs.
Yes.
And it's just really rewarding and fulfilling to step into that calling. But it takes time and it takes a lot of effort and patience.
It's scary, too.
It's really scary. It's really vulnerable.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I experience here. You and I have never talked about this. I experience that here. I have these moments of like, I built the thing I wanted to build. And now all these people have signed up for it.
Right.
To work here. And if I do something sideways or if I'm not healthy in some way, it affects all of them.
Wow.
And so you feel that.
It's a big responsibility, but yeah. also such a call, I think.
Yeah.
And I want to do both. You know what I mean? It's like I still want to act and be in the things and work, you know, be hired every once in a while as well. But there's a lot of ideas brewing.
Yeah.
That I'm like, who can help us make these come to fruition?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that is so fun. When you were, back me up to like 14 year old Laura. Did she want to be in movies or did she want to be on Broadway?
No, she wanted to be on Broadway
100%. Okay.
That was my goal from when I was like 3 years old. I was singing, dancing, and acting out musicals in my living room and always loved the stage. In fact, I was afraid of like TV film for a while.
Really?
In New York, I would audition for TV film stuff and it just never happened. So I think I came to think that I was bad at it or it just wasn't my path.
Wow.
And then I booked my first Hallmark movie in like 2018.
Yeah.
And had to play the lead. And I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I just entered it very humbly. I befriended the director and I was like, just hold my hand and help me fly. Like, teach me.
Yeah.
And I didn't sleep for 3 days and I called my parents and I was like, please pray for me. I'm so nervous.
Yeah.
And like, honestly, after the first day on set, I was like, okay, it's just fear of something new.
Yeah.
You know, in fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
And I felt like an old dog learning a new trick. And I still feel like that, but I'm becoming more comfortable with being in that place.
Yeah. How many movies have you done now?
I've done 5 Hallmark and 2 GAF.
Wow.
So
that
7.
Is amazing. Yeah, I would think that you would kind of have your feet under you. And we are going to talk about it, but I just got to watch just in time. If they didn't see it already on TV, it comes out on PureFlix tomorrow.
Yes, Great American PureFlix.
Oh, it's going to be so fun. I can't wait. But you act like a pro. I mean, you seem like a professional. So I'm surprised to hear you feel like you're still getting your feet under you.
I think I just have, I feel like I have so much experience on the stage and I know how to shine in that medium.
Yeah.
And when I sing especially, and I've had to grow in my confidence of just trusting the acting when the camera is right in your face.
Yeah.
And I still have so much to learn. I watch and I'm critical and then you also watch and you're like, oh, that was actually, that worked.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You see, if you're willing to watch yourself and still be able to respect and love yourself, you can also learn so much.
Yeah.
And I had a really beautiful time with this movie. There was a lot of emotional.
That's why I told you when you walked to the office, I was like, the scene in the greenhouse was unbelievable.
Thank you.
I rewound it 3 times where I was like,
really?
Oh my gosh, look at her. Yes. Literally, hand to heaven, I watched it 3 times.
My goodness.
In the greenhouse. Yeah.
Thank you.
That was really beautiful.
I had to do some like emotional prep for this and get myself to places emotionally that I haven't had to do on screen before.
Yeah.
And on stage, there's a lot more leeway. Obviously, I always want to be truthful, but there's not a camera 2 inches
that's
from
right.
your face.
That's
so
right.
I told you
and
when
you
I
do it different every night.
For sure. And you get to kind of live and breathe like you know, it's a river, like you said at the beginning of this, where it's like you get to, theater is a living, breathing organism.
Mm-hmm.
And with film, it all happens so quickly. You're like, you do get 5 or 6 takes, but then it's gone.
Yeah.
And it's all in the power and the hands of the editor
to
know which take they're going to use. And
right. And it may not be the one you loved.
Exactly.
And that is, Okay. So you were in New York for forever. You came down and moved to Nashville. Will you talk about, we have friends who send in questions and Alyssa said,
great.
I want a life update. How's the transition from New York to Nashville? So will you talk about whatever much of that you want to talk about ending up down here?
Yes, absolutely. So I, like you said, always wanted to be on Broadway. I got a TV reality show when I was 21 that cast me as Sandy in Grease on Broadway. I won this reality show and had this very blessed career in New York for 15 years. I got to do 6 Broadway shows.
You were Cinderella, right?
I got to play Cinderella.
Yes. What other shows were you in?
I did Grease, yeah. South Pacific at Lincoln Center.
Oh, my gosh.
Anything Goes with Sutton Foster and Joel Grey.
I haven't seen Anything Goes. That's like one of the ones I've got to see.
It's a classic. I mean, yeah. It's like one of those golden age. Just like champagne, bubbly musical.
Yeah, and it's like really on a boat. Fun. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Exactly. Very good.
I picture red and blue in a sailor outfit. So I don't know why.
That's it. Okay, that's great. Totally it. And then I did Bonnie and Clyde, a musical about Bonnie and Clyde, and that was fun and different. And then Cinderella, and then a musical called Bandstand, which was an original musical about a group of World War II vets that returned from the war and started a swing band.
I mean, six shows, that is such a big deal.
Thank you.
And principal in many of them.
The leading lady. Yeah. Two Tony nominations. And I just was like, a dream come true. That's where I felt most at home. It's what I wanted to do since I was a young, you know, just a little girl. And
did you think you'd be there forever?
Yes.
Yeah.
I will say yes, I did. So in 2020, COVID hit the industry and New York City really hard. Theater was the last thing to come back because it's large groups of people coming together and singing on each other, all of these things that just like weren't approved of. And so, you know, everybody got very creative about how to make money and how to bring the arts back and doing digital things. And I was a part of all that, started doing digital concerts. And just as kind of things were coming back, I had agreed to do one concert, one night thing in Long Island that was suddenly mandating the vaccine. It was around summer 2021, you know, year and a half after COVID had started. And I hadn't yet been vaccinated, and I decided to I had to back out of this one night concert. Yeah. And it was not a big deal. The director like totally understood. She's like, that's great. And then a week later, there was an article in the New York Post saying I was fired for refusing to be vaccinated.
Wow.
And I went through this whole cancel culture thing where there were lies in the article that I had put my castmates at risk, that I had lied or I was vague about my status.
What did you do when you woke up that morning? And what happened first? Did your phone blow up?
No, my agents called me and said that the New York Post has caught wind of your vaccination status and they're wondering if you have a comment.
Oh, wow.
I'm just, we're going there.
We don't have to do that.
No, it's good. Okay. I think it's good. I just think it's part of my story, and I think the world became so divided and people were filled with fear and anxiety, and it caused people to do crazy things. And I know that there are so many people out there who were put in a similar position.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's important to tell the story and go, like, there is life on the other side of cancellation.
Yes. Yeah, because it could be about a million things. I mean, my run-in was about a different thing. There are all sorts of reasons that the internet suddenly gets loud, and you feel like in the moment, everything is ending.
That's exactly it. That's exactly what I felt. It felt like the vase of my life had been thrown on the floor and was shattered into a million pieces. And at first, you're trying to just pick it back up. And I quickly realized, like, that wasn't going to happen. And so we actually felt like we had to move from New York City. We just felt like we didn't belong there anymore. Being unvaccinated in New York was not allowed. And you couldn't do anything. So honestly, seeing God's goodness in all of it, despite it being the like darkest year of my life.
Yes.
We ended up kind of moving to Connecticut during COVID time. And
a lot of New Yorkers did, right?
Yeah. He ended up kind of just loosening our grip on New York City, my husband and I. And
what's your husband's job? Was he in the industry too?
He had a photography studio
in
New
York.
That's right. Okay. So we started to experience the like peace of being in Connecticut and nature and life slowing down. We didn't know that for 14 years. We just were in the constant hamster wheel of New York and loved it, I'll say. But we started to realize there is life outside of New York. And when you live in New York, life revolves around it. Everything revolves around it, especially the entertainment industry and the Broadway world.
Yeah.
So we started looking at houses down here actually before everything happened.
Oh, wow.
Which is so interesting.
Right,
we came down here exactly fall of 2020, a whole year earlier, do a concert here with Susan Egan, who's a business partner
of
mine. And so we did a concert here and became aware of Franklin and the Nashville area. And my husband, we love real estate. And my husband just started looking at places. We ended up finding this house and we thought it was going to be for a friend of ours. We were recommending it to a friend and they weren't going to move at the time. And the more we sat with it, we were like, I think this is supposed to be our house.
We won't say where it is, but is it the house still on a hill? Because I think of you every time I drive by. Yes, I'm always waving as I go by. Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly
it. It's beautiful.
So there was a miracle story as to how we got it. We put an offer in, and then we rescinded the offer out of fear because suddenly this happened, and I was like, how am I going to pay for this? We ended up putting the offer back in because we were like, we don't act out of fear. This is not who we are.
Wow.
Another offer had been put in. It fell through. We got it. So we were like, okay, Lord, if this is supposed to be our house, you're going to have to provide first and foremost because I can't work now and I'm losing jobs right and left. And my, you know, my reputation and my career and a lot of relationships I had in New York kind of went down the drain overnight. And it was really hard, but it got us to Nashville. And honestly, I think it would have taken – like I would never have left had something not so painful and public happened.
Yeah.
And I wake up every morning here in Tennessee and I am so thankful. There's a peace in my spirit despite all of the insanity.
Yeah.
Here we have found an incredible community.
It's been unbelievable to watch. I mean, it is like, because when you and I had coffee right when you got here, you did not know a lot of people here yet.
No.
And you have got I mean, people can just go look on your Instagram. You have got like a beautiful, large, committed community.
It's
like
true.
Y'all all show up and it's multi-generational and it's beautiful.
Thank you for saying that. And it's been such a blessing where we felt like we no longer belonged.
Yeah.
We suddenly, like, God surrounded us with people here, which is really what we needed at the time. And we've started like an artist group of people who have been through similar things and are wanting to work outside of the system, like I've been talking about. We found a group of Christian moms. We found Karen Kingsbury befriended me and like adopted me when I was here, when we got here, and we're like, come join my Bible study. And like, I just like people reached out and extended just kindness and love and belonging and acceptance and hope in a season when I needed it most. Yeah. And just over the course of a year, you know, just built me back up. And it's been really, really beautiful and redeeming.
It is. I just can't. I mean, I think we've texted about it a couple of times. I've been like, this picture, like you would put up a picture of a bunch of girls at dinner or playing a bowl. I feel like there was a bowling picture.
And I was
they are, she has found people who, some are married, some are single, some have kids, some don't. I mean, it's just the most varied, beautiful community.
Yeah. And I've never had, and like, this is not a knock on any of the relationships I've had the rest of my life, but I've always prayed to have like women, like solid women.
Yeah.
And Christian women. And I've developed such a community of women here who I feel like are soul sisters in 2 years than I have, I think, the previous 35 years of my entire life.
Wow.
And it's just, I see the beauty from the ashes for sure.
So Broadway is probably, in a lot of ways, your Broadway life is maybe finished or possibly.
I think for a time, I think it would take something very specific, very special with the perfect people to make me even want to go back. And I actually think it says a lot about the healing is that I really don't have a desire to go back.
Yeah, because you're doing shows here. I mean, you were doing Shiners for a long time here. You're putting out music. It is like somehow, this is a funny thing to say about the Lord. Somehow the Lord handed you back everything, but in different boxes.
That's it. I feel like I'm exploring new forms of creativity I never would have ever explored had I stayed in my comfort zone.
Yeah.
In the musical
theater. Did you write any of your own music back then?
Nope.
No.
Never.
And now you're writing music and putting it out and have a production company with your husband?
Yes.
Rebel Rocket Entertainment.
Rebel Rocket. I actually was just listening to Ann Wilson's podcast too. And I was like, wait, she had this whole like rebel thing as well. And the thing is, I felt so silenced when all of this happened to me. And I thought, no one can say I'm not allowed to create or make art.
Yeah,
nobody
beautiful.
Owns art, right? So there is a way to tell my story, and I can do it by myself in a recording studio alone, in a room by myself. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And I did surround myself.
And I can put it on the internet, and I can, girl.
Yes, I can start writing, and I can start creating for other people then or whatever. Yeah. And so God just like, he blew the top off of the artistry box that I had put myself in.
Yeah,
and I had to, for better or for worse, I'd put so much of my identity in that.
Of course, yes.
That's what I thought people loved me for, wanted me for, whatever. And that was what I was great at, you know?
Wow.
And it took a year of realizing that's my identity can't be in what I do.
Yeah.
And now I know who I am.
Yeah.
And the artistry is just an overflow of that.
Yeah.
And it's waiting to see what God is breathing on. And the writing thing, I've found it, to be honest, to be challenging. It doesn't come naturally to me. And I've been paired with really wonderful co-writers who have, again, held my hand through that process and helped me. And I think it's important that I've put out new music and written original songs and shared my story through song in that way. But I'm also like, just if I'm being honest, it doesn't fulfill me the same way that that being on stage did.
Yeah.
So I am starting to open my heart again to being like, I think God might be calling me back to various forms of live performance in that way, or maybe the theater realm, but it has a way more important purpose now and specific purpose for me.
Hey friends, just interrupting this conversation to tell you about one of our incredible partners, Storyworth. Oh my gosh, that reminds me, I have to work on my parents' Storyworth books. Y'all, I've loved hearing stories about my parents' lives, things they loved to do as kids and family stories I've never heard. I gave them Storyworth as a way to capture all of these, and I know we are all going to love having their stories forever. If you're looking for a Mother's Day gift, Storyworth would be a perfect one. Here's how it works. Every week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. I loved it. About once a month, I went through and would pick the questions that I wanted my parents to answer that month. All they have to do is respond to that email with a story, long or short, it doesn't matter. And you get emailed a copy of those responses as they're submitted over the course of the year. I waited and read all of them at the end, but it was so good to see them come in. After that, Storyworth compiles their stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you're able to share and revisit for generations to come. I'm so excited to have this is a way to go back and read these stories forever. It's so special. So give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you will all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, you get to save $10 off your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/thatsoundsfun. That's storyworth.com/thatsoundsfun to get $10 off your first purchase. Okay, now back to our conversation with Laura. You are giving such hope to people. I want to tell you the person I'm picturing right now, because maybe it's the Lord, maybe it's not. But like, I wonder if there's a woman whose husband was a pastor and they just lost everything and they're divorcing or he doesn't have his job. And she thinks there is no other side to this. And you're such a good, or someone who just had a terrible breakup or someone who just lost their job or someone who moved to a new city and it is not panning out the way they thought it would. There is hope on the other, or someone who got canceled.
That's exactly
there it. There is hope on the other side.
I lost everything I thought was important and everything that I knew, right? Yeah. And it's, that has built my endurance, my perseverance, my fortitude to stand in the face of adversity.
Yeah.
And through a community surrounding me and my faith actually being my foundation, I've come out the other side. My album, my EP is called On the Other Side.
Yeah.
And I do hope if you're listening, if you're in a
valley. Talk to her.
Yeah, I'm like, if you're in a valley right now or you feel like you're walking through a fire, it's because you need to be refined. Mm-hmm. I've come out the other side now stronger and better.
Yeah.
And I would never wish it on anybody.
That's right.
I had someone ask me the other day, they're like, knowing who you are now, would you do it again? Would you go through that again? And I immediately started crying. And I was like, no, I'm not that far healed.
that is not a place we ever have to get to.
True, right? No. You're like, do I have to go through it again?
Right.
But being able to be patient and just take one step at a time.
Yeah.
You don't have to know what's down the road and around the riverbend.
Yes, yes.
Literally wake up in the morning and take one step.
Yeah.
And I think that's all God asks of us, to be honest. He's like, do you trust me? Mm-hmm. Just let me heal you. Let me bring the people.
I mean, you said it earlier, like you look at what God is breathing on. And I'm like, man, if you can just get up today and ask God, what are you breathing on today? And just follow that trail. Yeah, that feels like the way to heal on the other, the way, time is not a reliable healer without the Lord, I don't think. And so, but time and following the Lord does heal you.
Right. And his timing is perfect. And his timing is not our timing.
Right.
And what I feel like in building something from the ground up, it takes time. Yeah. Like Rome was not built in a day. And when you're building something instead of just waiting for someone to hand you something, it's exciting. It's fulfilling, as we talked about at the beginning of this, but it takes time. Yeah. So we're now just in the trust season.
That just feels like what 2020 handed a lot of people was, I just listened to an episode of The Daily where they talked about absenteeism in school is really high. And part of it is that parents caught or were taught in 2020 that kids going to school every day isn't as necessary as they thought it was. It is. They should go to school. But
right.
in the creative way, where I'm yes. going with this is we also learned we don't have to wait on permission to make something.
Yeah, I think like we've all kind of been forced yep. to think out the box.
Yeah.
And grow. It's like we're leveling up a little bit mm-hmm. in our artistry
yes.
and potentially like expanding our tents in new ways.
That's right. And with more release opportunities and with the power of the internet, you're like, I wrote down a second ago two different actors I want to make sure you know exist.
Great.
because I'm like, if you're making stuff, I've got an actor here and an actress in New York that, like, you need to know.
Great.
Because
I can't wait.
They aren't waiting on LA to call them. We don't have to wait on LA to call. We don't have to wait on New York to call. We don't have to wait on Birmingham to call.
That's
we
it.
Can just, wherever we are, we can make what we want to make.
That's it.
And so I'm like, we still need money. We need to help you find some money.
That's the thing, is I'm like, I just wrote a script. I wrote a rom-com script with
you?
A really beautifully talented actor and writer friend of mine, Stephanie DiMaggio.
Yeah.
And I'm like, now we got to make this movie.
And
I've never written a script before. Like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
But it was super fun.
Yeah, that's right.
And that sounds fun.
Yeah,
and now that's where I'm like, now I want to make this movie. And
yes.
we wrote all our friends into it. And I'm like, this has to happen.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right. Lord, bring the money.
Exactly.
Money is not the hard part for him.
That's true.
Money
right?
looks the same. It's not creative. It's just money. So we should ask the Lord, provide. Provide.
Amen
so we can
to
make
that.
The thing. I just, yeah. We say around here a lot at office that like, time is the currency we cannot make. And so we want to use our time really well because that is ticking. But money,
it exists.
That's going to go in. That's going to come out. There's going to be good days. There's going to be bad days. We let the Lord handle that.
So good. Thank you for that good reminder.
Yeah. It'll come. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about just in time, though, speaking
okay.
of the Lord's timing. First of all, our mutual friend, Candace Cameron Bure. This movie at the beginning says, Candace Cameron Bure presents
Above
Just
the title.
In Time. My gosh. I was like, okay, CCB, you get it,
yes.
girl. So this is with GAF, Great American Family. What does it mean? Does that mean Candace wrote this and she called you and said, you're the girl for this?
It means that her production company, Candy Rock.
Candy Rock, yeah.
It was the producer. So
Got
she
it.
Is the executive producer
Got
of
it.
This movie for GAF.
So was she with you? Was she on set?
She was on set.
I love it. Where'd y'all film just in time?
We filmed on Vancouver Island.
Yeah, it looks beautiful.
Near Victoria.
Yeah.
In January, so it was very cold.
You're lying. It does not look like January at all. Y'all were on the beach a ton. Were you freezing?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I was freezing. In fact, I loved like Candace one day. I was like, the first 2 days that we filmed, it was like 32 degrees and we were outside eating ice cream. You remember that scene?
Yes,
eating ice cream?
Yes.
That was scene one.
You're sitting around and talking.
And I was
with the watchmaker.
So
nice.
Yes, so sweet.
I know. I don't want to spoil things, but I have to tell you, there's a moment in that scene where someone else shows up that you're like, what? He's alive?
Exactly. I love it.
It was so shocking. It was 30 degrees and you are sitting outside eating ice cream
at 8 in the morning. And this was the first scene that we shot. Like the first scene we shot. And I was like, okay, I'm trying to be like, okay, I'm setting the tone. Like I'm leading this movie.
Yes,
like,
yes.
And I was so distractingly cold.
Yes.
And I was like, if the whole rest of the shoot is going to be like this, like how can I act?
Yes.
I'm distracted. And like Candace came up to me. I shared this with her. She's been in the industry forever, right?
Yeah,
she
yeah.
knows all the secrets.
That's
she
right.
is such a pro. And she was like, someone told me once to channel the frigid feelings to your knees. And I was like,
send
okay,
all the
girl.
Cold to your knees.
And it kind of worked.
That is wild. Okay, this is the thing that blows my mind about movies that I want you to give an insider scoop to. The idea y'all don't film in order makes no sense to me.
Coming from the theater world, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Because I love getting to go on a character's journey from beginning to end,
yes,
right? And
yes.
you get to actually experience it
yes.
in real time. It all is based on location.
Oh, okay.
Because moving 1,000 cameras and lighting equipment and all the things to another location, knowing that we're just going to come back there to shoot another scene, that's how it all
so
is.
So like all the things that happen in you and your husband's house, you do them all in the same-ish amount of time?
Yep. 2 days in the house.
So the first scene in the movie, the last scene in the movie, same day?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
That is shocking. Also, what was it like being in a rom-com that the main characters were already married?
Actually, amazing. That's one of the things that drew me to this movie is that it's about a married couple that kind of hit a near breaking point in their relationship.
I mean, very near.
Over their struggles with fertility and infertility.
Yeah.
And on page 8, he's like, I think we need to go our separate ways for the weekend. I'm going to go be with my family. You need to figure your life out.
Yeah. On Easter weekend, by the way, everyone.
Yes.
On Easter weekend. So
exactly.
Come on, Rowan. Be a little bit better. Don't leave your wife on Easter weekend.
Ideally, no. Please don't, husbands. But I was shocked because I was like, oh, this isn't the typical, like, oh, two people falling in love over Christmas cookies type of movie. And there's a place for that. Those joyful movies need to exist. And I love making those as well. But I was drawn to this going like, oh, this is a real life issue. Mm-hmm. And a woman who is in a very broken place.
Yeah.
And through a series of kind of unlikely and mysterious events over the course of this weekend and people that she meets, she discovers her need to surrender. Yeah. And she has a greenhouse and she likes things, you know, perfectly organized. And she knows that if she adds the perfect amount of sunlight and water, that this will grow.
That scene could about make me cry.
It made me cry.
Where she's like, here's why I love a greenhouse. I control everything.
Yep.
Oh, I was like, that is me.
And the things grow. Yes. And then with her own body, she can't make that happen.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful. It's heartbreaking. And I think it's a topic that isn't really talked about in film very much.
No.
And so going back to Candace for a moment, she texted me initially. We've been acquaintances from afar for like 2 years. And she texted me and was like, this is the network's first Easter film. I'm executive producing it. And will you read the script? We would really love for you to do it. And I mean, that alone was like almost made me cry.
Yes.
And once I read the script, I was like, I'm so honored. I feel so honored and grateful that you are one, that you're going to trust me with the network's first Easter movie and this very like faith forward movie.
Yes. So Christian. Yeah.
Yes. Like my character finds Jesus on an Easter Sunday service.
That's right. That's right.
And so like I was like, how I want to bring truth to this. I want to bring part of my journey to this. And I mean, I related to Hannah in that she has to hit rock bottom to really grow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And realize God's, you know, full potential healing and restoration, redemption in her life.
Yes.
And, it's beautiful. Like at the end of the movie, we talked about it for a moment. It's left kind of open. You know,
so
it's not
surprising.
Like everything gets perfectly wrapped up in a bow, which I really like.
I do too.
And it's just, it has a really, really beautiful message.
Were you, when you read it and it was so overtly faith-based, which I actually think people are going to love no matter what they believe. I think people love when a story tells the story it wants to tell versus feeling like the story is trying to match whatever the people want.
Right.
And so I think people will really like that y'all made a faith forward story. Did you like that when you read it? Were you afraid it was going to be cheesy?
To be honest, like, yes, I was cautious about it being cheesy. And I had a great conversation with our director, Paula L., before we started. And she was in the same boat. She's a believer as well. And she was like, I don't want to make a cheesy Christian movie.
Yeah.
And again, no offense to the art that is being made in that space.
We aren't naming them. We aren't saying which ones are cheesy.
Of course. But I think Christian movies get a bad rap for being cheesy.
Yeah.
And I think there are a lot of people who are being called, especially here in Nashville, to create art that has a redeeming message, but doesn't have to be cheesy. It's still excellent, and it's going to bring hope to people without being on the nose.
Yeah.
And so I think this movie does definitely have a very forward faith message. But I think it's artfully done, it's beautifully done, and it's truthful for what Hannah's going through.
Yes.
And I just wanted to be authentic in it. And I hope that that comes across and that people are moved. You're right. No matter where they are on the faith spectrum. If you're a believer already, maybe you'll be challenged in your marriage to communicate about things. Or there's someone you need to forgive. Or you're going through patience, learning how to wait or how to persevere through a difficult season. Yeah. I think there's so many other beautiful lessons you can learn around just the faith forward message.
Some of my favorite Christmas movies are this series that I think Hallmark Movie Mystery Channel does called Godwink Stories.
Yes.
And they're real life love stories that they have fictionalized to some degree, but are retelling where God obviously brought people together.
Yes.
And so I feel like this is in that vein.
Agreed.
Will you talk about, if you want to, the first time Hannah prays in the movie? It is really moving.
Thank you. It's I think my favorite scene in the movie.
Really?
I remember when we filmed it, I felt like, again, I had to get to a very vulnerable place.
Yeah.
And this was late at night. This was an afternoon where it was just me. Everyone else had been released and we did all these scenes with just me
In the house, right?
Yes. And so I just went from one costume to the other in each of these scenes where I was just
by
myself.
And had to have your lines memorized?
Dude,
I'm so impressed. I'm so impressed.
And a lot of those scenes though were just acting. It was me laying in the bed in two scenes and me looking through the scrapbook. And like,
you cry so much in the bed. Oh, that one one time when you're crying on the couch and you roll over and tuck in your little bunny slippers?
I was going to say, did you notice the bunny slippers?
It was just hard. I'm telling you, I knew you were a good actress, my friend, but I mean, you were emotionally moving in this. Yeah.
Thank you. And I got to use like real life wedding photos of my wedding. Like that's actually
what
my husband.
Easter egg. Really?
Yes, exactly.
When you're looking through your photo album. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Okay. Yes. So you're doing all that in the same day.
Yes. Yes.
Dude.
Completely.
Afterwards, like spaghetti and meatballs in my hotel room. No one speak to me.
Oh, you know it. Every night. I came home and took a bath every day because I was always cold.
You'd have to.
And I came home and I thawed out in the bath and I memorized lines for the next day and I like decompressed and prayed. And like.
So are y'all like studying for finals, like cramming for finals every night?
Yes. That's what it feels like.
And then you just forget it. When you're done, you can forget it and you have 2 hours and then you have to do it again.
That's exactly it. Once you're done, it's like delete old files.
Yeah.
So you can create space for the new ones.
Oh my gosh. Okay, yeah. Prayer seat. Sorry.
So I all afternoon I'd kind of been in a vulnerable place and just kind of tried to stay in that place all day because it was just me being emotional in the house for like 6 hours.
Yeah, my gosh.
And to be honest, we did the take first and I felt really good about it. But then the director Paula came over and was like, "So you're praying like someone who already knows Jesus." And I said,
wow.
Okay, thank you for that note.
Right. You're like, well, the person does. So, yeah.
So, again, I wanted to be truthful to it. And I, you know, but she's like, you have to be certain. You don't know how to pray. Mm. This is someone who's searching for the words.
Yes.
So these lines that you memorized, and you always try to bring, you know, you breathe life into the words on the page and make them your own.
Yes.
But that was the note. And I took that and I said, she's totally right. Like, she's absolutely right.
Wow.
And so I did a whole take where I was just, I had no idea what I was going to say and what was going to come out. And I was just really hesitant and I was like bawling. And then she came back and was like, that was amazing. But now I need one take in between so that if we have to marry the two together.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, they take cuts from every angle in different scenes. So we did like a safe one, a go there one.
Yeah.
And in the middle one.
Movies are wild. I had no idea that you do this emotional, like, I've just sobbed, and they're like, so good, do it again.
Yes, that's it. And then after the third time, I was like, we got it, right? We got it. Because I'm, like, really giving a lot of myself.
Right.
And then she's like, great, we got to do it one more time for the wide shot. And I was like, and then I got a little, like, discouraged.
Yes.
Going, like, did we not get it? Or, like, what? And she's like, no, it was technical. And then I'm like, oh, but I was giving, you know, so you have to stay in that place. And maybe that wide shot wasn't as good, but you know that that's the only going to be a shot, you know, one or two.
But
in the
scene, if I remember correctly, you're laying down in the dark, you roll over, you turn on the lamp, you sit up, you bring up your knees and you pray.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do that, the whole thing. They're like, retake, and you lay back down, cover up, turn off the lights.
The reset, I had to do the beginning thing a couple times and the whole thing, yes. But then there was a time where it was like, go from where the light's already on.
Oh my gosh, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I will sit in a cafe in one of your movies sometime if you need like Annie in the background.
Yes,
I would live for it.
Oh,
I can't do that. I can't do that. I don't know how to do that.
The picking up in the middle is tricky. But that's why you just between and like it was a little tricky because between takes, everyone else is living their life and they're like setting up cameras and they're talking.
Drinking Cokes.
Yes. And like joking. And it was a mental test.
Yes.
It was good. I just stayed in a very
crazy.
Like, God, like keep me in the zone and please let this be truthful and help me to honor and glorify you. And like, I'm thinking about, I lost my mom 13. I'm thinking about things that make me sad or moments when I cried out to God.
Yeah.
And trying to bring that truth from my life in that moment. And it's just, you have to just put your blinders on as the actor and just stay in the zone. And it was good. It was a good challenge.
Yeah.
It was good for me. I haven't gotten to do that very often.
Yes.
So it's good.
I as the scene is playing out, you are praying and then a phone rings.
Yes.
And you get up out of your bed and I'm doing this in my head. Huh, she doesn't plug her phone in her room. That's so interesting. This married couple has their phones outside the room and then it's a landline in a drawer.
That's right.
I was like, oh, they actually have a landline that they've kept. And the movie explains why
yes,
kept
why
the landline.
That is significant.
But I was like, oh, they don't plug their phone. They're even having good boundaries with their phones in this movie.
Not quite, no. I love that your head went there.
Totally. When you got out of bed, I was like, huh, look at her.
Isn't that a thing now? You're not supposed to have your phone plugged in by your bed.
Yes, like, I thought y'all
on the other
really
side of the
modeling.
Room. Yes.
I was like, what an old school ring they have. She has on her cell. Anna has on her cell phone.
Now you have to see the movie to find
out. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And now back to finish up our conversation with Laura. That sounds fun. Okay, so it's available tomorrow, so they can get it off of GAF PureFlix.
Yes.
Is that you can download it as an app?
That's exactly it. It's an app. You download it. You can do a 7-day free trial.
Okay.
So maybe this is your time.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
To test it out just in time.
Yeah, just in time. You can test it out. When you are done with the movie, I will answer this too, but I want you to answer first. When you are done with this movie, how did it affect your faith?
Oh, I was emboldened. Mm. And, you know, it is a faith-forward movie. And I've never really done a project that's like straight up points to Jesus. Like
this one is.
And I was just unashamed about it. I was excited and I was thrilled to get to work with Candace and be on set and make a movie.
Yeah.
And it was joyful. So I'm like excited for people to see it.
Yeah.
And it's not like everything I do moving forward has to be, you know,
I'm
so open. I'm like, great. So I think I was just, I'm emboldened now knowing that I have this project as part of my repertoire.
Yes, that's right.
To get to glorify God through the process. And like God showed up in so many ways, like even despite all the weather, it snowed the days we were in the greenhouse
and
literally glass walls in this greenhouse. Right. And there's snow outside.
Outside.
So like the way we had to just be so creative with like shots and covering things up. And even despite the hurdles, there were a couple days we had to switch locations because it was like snowing or too cold or windy.
Yeah.
And it just like, and then like the way the sun came out in the Easter service scene. I don't know if you saw that. It was the one day it happened to be warm and we're on the beach and like the sun came out as during this worship song moment where my character is like surrendering her life.
Yes,
and you're like, it was so cool. And to just be a part of something that has a mission instead of just to entertain was really rewarding.
Yeah. There was beautiful diversity in the movie of age, of race, and even of concept. Like you don't see a lot. A central concept is a guy who uses his metal detector to return things to people.
Right.
And so that's not a concept you see a lot, you know? And so I loved it.
I had a friend's kid that was like, what is that? And now he's like, wants to do that with his
dad.
He's like, I want to become
a metal detector.
Yeah, it's like, didn't know that existed.
And
now he's like, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So for me, when I finished watching it, I did sense a whisper from the Holy Spirit to be like, just remember, I'm in charge of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to control everything. Your life does not have to be a greenhouse. And also, I won't say how we got here, but Romans 10:11. I sat down with that this morning in my quiet time. And that is how I spent my morning with the Lord is I was like, okay, I'm going to sit in this verse and I'm going to tell you what I think. And you're going to tell me what you think. And it is a verse that I'm sure I've read over. But when I tell you in Romans 10, at some point in my life, I underlined above verse 11 and below verse 11. It's the only one that's not underlined in that whole section.
And did you?
100%. 100%. I was like, well, let me add you to the crew.
Right. Those who put their faith in the Lord will not be put to shame.
Yeah. Yes. And it just was, it gave me something to have a quiet time about today.
Cool.
And I think that's a really rare response to watching a movie.
There you
go.
That's
a mainstream movie. And so I thought, oh, my friends who are praying and figuring out things with God will learn a lot from this movie.
Cool. Mission accomplished.
So, yeah. I think it's really, really special.
Thank you for saying that. Thank you for watching and helping to spread the word.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course. I literally was like, Laura, get in here. We've been texting about it all spring, figuring out when it would be coming out.
Yes.
Okay, what do you work on next? What happens now?
Oh, my goodness. So I have two songs in the works.
Yay.
One is kind of a love song, kind of a wedding thing I'm hoping will come out this spring, early summer.
Yeah.
And then I have another song called Small Talk, actually, about finding my girlfriends. And it's like we go deeper, like we go under the surface and over the small talk.
Great.
And I'm actually later today going to further produce and record vocals for that.
Oh, I love it. Okay.
that'll be later summer.
Yeah. Okay.
And then my husband and I started a production company last October.
So what does that mean? Talk to us like as people who don't do movies. What does a production company mean?
Question. So this was born out of almost necessity. I'm going to say I had the opportunity. I was invited to participate in a show with a theater company here in Tennessee that works with adults with special needs and disabilities.
Oh, my gosh. I saw all this on your socials. It was beautiful.
They celebrated their 10-year anniversary with a production of Cinderella.
That was it. Yeah.
I played Cinderella on Broadway.
Yeah.
And so I was connected with them and was invited to come play the fairy godmother in their production. And it was a life-changing experience.
Mm.
And when we found out this was going to happen, my husband and I were like, we need to document this. This needs to be something. Wow. And so we found friends and developed a small crew, and we self-funded 19 days of content.
Oh, wow.
Through the rehearsal process.
Yes.
And tech and putting on this show with an incredible group of artists.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Do you know Backlight? The theater's called Backlight Productions.
Only because you introduced me to it.
The theater has been around here in Franklin, Tennessee for 10 years. And
no
it has
idea.
They shine the spotlight on artists that wouldn't ordinarily get the opportunity to do this.
Yeah.
And the role of Cinderella was divided into five different women who got to play the role because it's a manageable piece to get to digest.
Yes.
And I got to literally hand off the glass slippers to these deserving Ellas and help them go to the ball. And it was just amazing. And so we filmed a documentary essentially about this process, and we put together, we just finished, we got a 10-minute sizzle reel.
Wow.
And our dream for it was like a docuseries, like a 4-part docuseries, like episodes.
Yeah.
And we're in the process of pitching it to platforms.
Great.
And we want to talk to Netflix. They have Love on the Spectrum.
Yeah.
And it's very much in that vein.
Yes.
And, maybe Amazon. We've talked to Angel. Like, we think it can live beyond a faith-based platform.
Yeah.
And that would be wonderful if it ended up there, but we're so open right now.
Totally.
We're just praying God opens doors.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people need to see this, and these stories need to be told.
Yes. Yes. That is so fun.
So when that happened, we were like, I guess we're starting a production company.
When I picture someone starting a production company, I picture you owning a warehouse that's empty and you're going to put sets in it. Is
right?
that true?
I mean, that's like if you own a soundstage.
Okay. That's
so
what I picture.
This
I'm like,
is
Rebel Rocket. I'm going to sit on the side of some sort of big building
someday.
In Franklin. Okay.
Someday.
Okay. Okay.
So I think the production company is the LLC. Is the
Perfect.
More business entity as opposed to like a building.
Got it. Okay.
We work out
Thank
of our home.
Thank you for teaching me. Thank you.
No. Well, we're learning too. Honestly, we are learning so
yeah.
much.
Yeah.
And Rebel Rocket, are the name of our production company. It's me and my husband, but we are building. Came from actually a dream that Nate's mom had, my husband's mom had, about us. And she was like, I saw you guys in this rocket. And it was like a cartoony, fun, colorful rocket.
Wow.
And we were shooting up to the sky and leaving diamond dust. It wasn't like smoke and fire. It was like diamonds that were coming out of the rocket.
Wow.
So she got this like vision. And we were like, okay, I think it has to be something with that. And we came up with, we were trying to put all these names with rocket. And I thought of the word rebel.
Yeah.
Thinking we're going outside the system.
Yeah.
We are creating outside the system. And we're bringing all of our friends with us. And
yes.
we are rising.
Yes.
We are going up. We're like, that was the vision and the message. And Nate was like, I love that. And it stuck.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Rebel Rocket, we're here we go. We're
it.
Creating our own things.
Yeah.
We're being revolutionary. We want to tell stories that bring light in the midst of a world that is divisive and dark.
Yeah.
And so
that is so fun.
We have other projects in the hopper. We're having people kind of approach us with various scripts that they've written, and now we want to help produce and breathe life into these projects in addition to creating some of our own.
Dude, the next decade is going to be so fun to watch you. I mean, you're just going to build everything you want to build.
I love you, Annie. Thank
you. I love you,
too. I'm
Thank
just
you
so,
for
I mean,
that. This is
we're excited.
So fun.
And I feel like we're called to help build whatever God has for Nashville for the next, like, 5-10 years.
Yeah.
And we're just at the ground level right
now.
It's just baby steps. You can't – there's not much to show for it yet, but the work's being done behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude. Okay. What did we not talk about that you want to make sure we talk about?
The only other thing I want to mention is one of my songs, Getaway, that I wrote last year, has been chosen. It's in the top 2% of songs that have been narrowed down to be a contender for the International Songwriting Competition.
Oh, my gosh.
I submitted it like last year, just kind of on a whim.
Right.
And it's over 14,000 submissions. And it's been chosen in the top 15.
Dude.
For country music.
Congratulations, Laura.
Thank you.
When do you find out?
I believe early May. So
oh,
it
my
should
gosh.
Be
I'm gonna
soon.
I'm going to be on pins and needles.
Fans can vote.
Yeah, can we? Tell me how. I'm writing it down right now.
So it's, I wrote it on my Instagram.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Okay.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Beautiful. So put in the show notes how you can vote. And that's just for the fan favorite. That's aside from the professional judges who are actually voting for the competition itself. But I feel so honored. It's because, again, I feel so new at songwriting. I don't feel great at it.
Yeah.
I think it's important, and I've enjoyed stretching myself in that way.
Yes.
But to kind of have a little like recognition or validation and going like, this is a good song.
Yes.
Is really nice. It's a song called Getaway, and
Getaway.
It's actually the first song I wrote when I moved to Nashville, with a brilliant artist named Raquel Cole.
Yeah.
And it's about, my husband and I took a drive out to Leaper's Fork.
Yeah.
And we sat on this porch and had a glass of wine.
Yep.
And we were like, look at our life. Like, look how much things have changed. Mm-hmm. It was like our third day here.
Yes.
And wow. That's essentially what the song is about. It's about leaving wow. the city lights behind
yeah.
and enjoying the starry nights.
Wow. This is going to get us somewhere. Have you been to OnSite? Have
On-site.
You been out there? OnSite, it's a counseling center out in outside of Ashland City. It's beautiful. They have you do this thing. And one of the things you do at OnSite is you get these opportunities to like imagine reparenting yourself, not in a statement about your parents, wow. but just going to your younger self and saying, look, you're safe. So we don't need these particular tools that you thought you needed as a kid anymore. That kind of thing.
Beautiful.
As I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, I wish you and I could get in some sort of time machine and our modern selves could go to you the day after that article came out and get to say, you're going to write a song that's going to be nominated as one of the top country songs. Like, I want to go back and tell her. I think you needed the growth, so we won't get to go back and tell her. I needed growth through pain too, but I want to tell her. So if you get a chance to go tell yourself in your mind, look at what you survived and got. And what you got on the other side of it.
Thank right? you.
I would just love
that.
To tell her what was coming.
Me too, actually.
I know.
Because that year was hard. I was on the floor. But it has birthed so many new beautiful things that would have never happened had I not had to walk through that.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying that.
To be very cheesy, just in time.
I know.
Right?
Full circle.
I am as cheesy as every Christian movie needs me to be. So, I love you. I love you. I'm so proud of you.
I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, you guys, isn't she the best? What an incredible story. Okay, y'all, I've got to go watch Just in Time. Remember, it premieres tomorrow on PureFlix, so you can download that app. And as she told you, there's a 7-day trial, so you can at least go and watch her movie and stick around and see what else you might like about that platform. And make sure you're following Laura on social media. Tell her thanks for being on the show and anything else that the Lord might bring to your mind to encourage her today. And we've got the link in the show notes for you to vote for her song. Can you believe that? All right. If you have any questions from this episode, drop them in the Q&A box on your Spotify app if you're a Spotify listener like me, or send them to us on Instagram at That Sounds Fun Podcast. We'll try to answer them there. I cannot wait to hear what y'all think about the movie Just in Time. Okay, after you watch it, you've got to DM me and tell me your thoughts. If you need anything else from me, you know I'm embarrassingly easy to find when you want to tell me your thoughts on Just in Time. Annie F. Downs on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Anywhere you may need me, that is where you can find me. And I think that's it for me today, friends. Go out or stay home. Do something that sounds fun to you, and I will do the same. Today, what sounds fun to me is flying to New York. I'm going up to see my New York friends tomorrow. So that sounds really exciting to me. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday as we continue our Let's Read the Gospels series. We're talking about the book of Mark with Dr. Esau McCauley. You guys, get ready to have your mind blown about this book. Oh my gosh, it's so fun. So we'll see y'all on Monday.
That sounds fun. That sounds fun.